Blog Talk Radio.
I'll have some good days. I've some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some lonely nights. But when I look around and I think things over, you know what? All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, why so much pain? But He knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes they can't see, so I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God has been so good to me. Has He been good? Good to me, more than this whole world, you could ever be. He's been so good. Help me. You know what He did? He dried all of my tears away. Midnight came today, so I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I've been lied on, but thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, but thank you, Lord. You might be sick, body racking with pain, but thank you, Lord. The bills are due. Don't know where the money coming from. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't. Yeah, I won't complain.
Yes, the songwriter says that I won't complain. God bless you. God bless you. You are listening to The Burning Bush tonight with none other than Apostle Alexander Lockamy. I'll say it again. We have Apostle Alexander Lockamy and The Burning Bush, the man himself, the man with the wisdom gift. God bless you. God bless you. And let us turn it over to him, and I will give you the information at the end. Amen.
Yes, good evening to the radio fans. We come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking God for another opportunity to share His word. Tonight, we want to talk from a subject that the Lord had gave me. We got so many people that are giving up, throwing in the towel. They're stopping, letting the devil defeat them, letting the devil get the best of them, fainting along the way. The Bible said we will reap what we sow if we faint not. That means if we faint, we won't attain. We won't get what we were after. God don't want us to faint. God don't want our circumstance. God don't want our trial to get the best of us. He wants to hang on in there and trust him, keep the faith and not doubt. For the Bible said Abraham staggered not in unbelief. Abraham didn't let his circumstance and his trials and his tests make him doubt God. So I want to talk on the subject tonight. Devil, you can't stop me because my mind is made up. Devil, you can't stop me because my mind is made up. That is something we all should say, even so right now. Devil, you can't stop me because my mind is made up. See, sometimes you have to talk back to the devil just like he talked to you. The devil is a spiritual being. And if he can talk to you, you can talk back to him. You don't have to let him win tonight by allowing him to do all the talking, telling you what you ain't, telling you what you're going to never be. You always notice that the devil never encouraged you. The devil never tells you that you are anointed. The devil never tell you that you are gifted. The devil never tell you you're somebody. The devil never tell you you're going to make it. But he always tells you the thing that you ain't. Because the scripture says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I want somebody to agree with me tonight that I'm not going to let stop. I done come too far. I done got too much invested. I done fasted too many fasts. I done prayed too many prayers. I done turned my plate down too many times. I got too much invested and to throw in the towel. Sometimes we got to look at our investment. You can't look at the problem going on in the marriage. You can't look at how the husband acting or how the wife acting. You can't look at how bad the problem seems. But you got to look at the investment that you got in that marriage. You got your children. You got your daughters. You got your sons. You got the grandbabies. You got family members that it's going to affect when you walk out of this marriage. It ain't about you no more. Oh, if it was about you before you got married, it was about you. But once you got married, once you married somebody else's daughter, once you became somebody else's sister-in-law and brother-in-law, it ain't about you no more. You just can't come up and make a decision. I'm out of this. I'm through with it. I'm stopping. I can't take it no more. Oh, this bigger than me. No, it's never bigger than you. Because sometimes you have to look at the big picture, and the big picture is about others as well. It's about that father-in-law, that mother-in-law. It's about that sister, that brother. It's about that wife that you just married that came into her life, and all of a sudden you're going to walk out like it don't mean that because of the bills or because of some sickness or because you decided you don't love her no more, you're in love with someone else. You got to think about this. There's a consequence behind everything we do. And the devil is trying to stop. This ain't you. This is the devil. We got to see how much devil there is in our life. Sometimes we got so much devil in our life, we don't even see it. We got devil in our life. Don't do this. He got us doing that. And we don't see this. Ain't nothing but the devil. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why he told us to put on the whole armor of God. That was standing against the devil is wild, y'all. He don't care who he use. He'll use your mama against you. He'll use your brother against you. He'll use your father against you. He'll use your cousin against you. He'll use your boyfriend, your girlfriend. He's just that deceiving. He's just that conniving. He don't care who he use. But you got to have the wisdom of God so that you can see the plans of Satan. You can see the plots of Satan. You see, he messes with the mind. See, this is how he gets the victory over you. You let him get too much in your mind. That's why you got to guard your mind. You got to watch your mind every day with the Word of God, by the washing of the Word of the Word. Many people don't know that the Word of God is just not words on a piece of paper. The Word of God is like detergent. It's like washing powder. It's like Downy. The Word of God is like a detergent. It cleanses you. The Bible says we are washed by the Word. By the Word, when you read God's Word, you're not just getting knowledge. You're not just getting intellect. You're just not getting spiritual knowledge. When you read God's Word, you have been washed. It's like a washing, like a cleansing. The Bible says we are cleansed through the Word that I've spoken unto you. if you do what's inevitably said. Now, the washing just don't come now. It just don't come by you just throwing the clothes in the washing machine and then looking at the buttons on the washing machine where it said rent and whatever speed you're going to put in it and how much water you're going to put in it and how long you want the heavy duty. Is it light duty? You can look at that written on that washing machine all you want to, but until you push that button for that water to come in that washing machine, however much water you want, and see how long you want it to run, and the amount of water you want to run in it, and what size load you want to run, that machine, and push that pull button for that machine to go working, it ain't going to work. Your clothes will be sitting in that washing machine dry unless you do more than just put them in there. And same way it is with the word. You got to do more than just put the word of God in your head. You got to do more than put the word of God in your heart. You got to apply that word. You got to do what that word said. He said, then are you clean? Well, you do what the word said. If the word said quit lying, you got to quit lying. If the word said quit committing adultery, you got to quit committing adultery. If the word said quit stealing, you got to quit stealing. If the word said quit covenant, you got to quit covenant. You can't read the word and go home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, next week, and don't do nothing but read it and go back to church and read it again. All you got was letters. The Bible said a letter, kill it, but the spirit bring life. Jesus came for us to do this thing. And this is what was going on in the church before Jesus came. All they did was read the word. They read the Bible, then went back home. Come back next Sunday, read the Bible, and go back home. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. See, God is telling you to do these things so you can be happy. He wants you happy. He wants your joy to be full. He wants you to have everything you need. God wants your body healed. He wants your mind regulated. He wants your soul saved. He wants your head lifted up. He wants you to be encouraged. And that's why he said that when you do these things, he said, what's the never you ask me? I'll do it, that your joy may be full. We're out here trying to get our joy filled up with other things, with drugs and alcohol and sex and all these things that the world got to offer, popping pills day by day, trying to enhance ourselves with medication to get this joy. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's joy in serving God. We make the world look like that serving God is a miserable thing. Let me slow down a little bit, getting excited. We make the world think that serving God is a miserable thing, but it's the most joyful thing ever could happen in a person's life. Oh, I wish I had got saved much earlier than I did. Serving the Lord has brought a change in me. Since the day God saved me in prison on November 7, 1979, my life ain't did nothing but change from one grace into another. I have no charge against the Lord. I have no accusation against the God I serve. He has been good to me. Yes, he have. He could have left me there in prison there for 100-some years. Oh, and if they would have did what they wanted to do, they want to run it consecutive. They want to run it, concurrent. They want to run it 10 years behind 10 years behind 10 years. If they would have, I would have still been in prison today. But God called them to run it so it wasn't like no box car, but it was consecutively all running at the same time. And for that reason, God broke it down from 100 years down to about 15 months. He just helped me long enough in order to get my attention, to get my mind. And I'm so glad he got my mind. And I come out to tell somebody else tonight, you need to let God get your mind too. My subject was, I can't stop because my mind is made up. You have to have a made-up mind to serve the Lord. My subtopic would be, you got to have a made-up mind to serve the Lord. We got so many people trying to live a Christian life, and their mind ain't made up. You can't serve God if your mind ain't made up, because Satan gonna come on, keep coming in, put his shoes on your feet. You got to have a made-up mind. You got to have a made-up mind that for God I live and for God I die. I don't care what come, hell or high water, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve him in the morning. I'm going to serve him in the evening. I'm going to serve him at noonday. I'm going to serve him when I'm lied on. I'm going to serve him when I talked about. I'm going to serve him when my name hung on the signboard. I love my wife. If she walk out, I'm going to serve him. I love my husband. If he walk out, I'm going to serve him. I love my boyfriend. If he walk out, I'm going to serve him. I love my girlfriend. If they walk out, I'm going to serve him. I love my family member. But if they walk out, I'm going to serve him because my mind is made up. You got to have your mind made up. You got to know that God is real. You got to know that he's eternal to heaven. And you got to know that if he be for you, who then can be against you? You got to know that God will do everything he said. Satan will make you think that God has forgot about you. Satan will make you think that God ain't heard your prayer. Yes, sometimes answer don't come overnight. That's why one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering. We have to learn how to suffer long sometimes. Long-suffering or suffer long, either way you put it, they're both the same. Sometimes we have to suffer longer than we want to. But know that at the end of the suffering, everything will work in your favor. Because the Bible said all things does work together for good to them who love God, to them that have been called according to his purpose. Maybe I need to say that again. He's talking to the Christian now, the born-again believer, those that love the Lord. Now, if you don't belong to God, this scripture is not for you. He's not talking to you. This scripture is for those that have been born again. All things, everything in your life, it didn't say that it is for your good. He didn't say it happened for your good. He said it's going to work for your good. Something happened to bad. Some things are so bad we can't even talk about. But I have you to know that if you keep your hand in God's hand, it is going to work for your good. Look at Job. It didn't look like that was going to turn out right. How in the world? He lost everything. He's on rock bottom. Lost all his children, lost all his goats, all his sheep, all his ass. Then turned around and lost his health. One would say he's through. One would have counted Job out. But the Bible said don't look at what Job went through, but look at the end of Job. For at the end, God gave him double for his trouble. So I ain't going to try to preach about Job, but I'm going to go to the end of Job. I'm going to go to the end of your circumstance to let you know that God going to give you double for your trouble. God going to work it out. God going to fix it. Don't you go commit suicide. Don't you go take your life because the husband walked out, for the wife walked out. Husband left you with them children. You lift up your head with hang down. Straighten out your feeble knees. Be encouraged. It hurts. Go cry. But in the midst of the tears, you get up. Dress yourself like a soldier. Fix your hair. Walk out that door like you're a peacock. Let the world know that you ain't going to die. Let the world know you ain't gave up. Let the world know that they hadn't won. And even let that husband who walked out and left you, let him know you ain't won. It's his loss, 80-20. He thought he had 80, but he's going to find out he have nothing but 20. But that's his loss. You lift up your head. You give God something to work with. You keep on going. I come out and encourage you tonight. Don't let the devil play mind games. Excuse me, because that's what he does. He play mind games. And I wrote down a few things here. I want to talk about 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, 1 through the 6th verse. Whether I read it or not, it talks about David, how David was out fighting. David was out fighting the Amalekites, and he was fighting the enemy, and he had been gone for a period of time. But while he was gone, the enemy came to the land and captured his children and captured his the women and all the children and took them in captivity. Now, you must understand, David had just went out and killed families. David had went and killed husband, wife. David done killed children. He done killed everybody that was in the city. So how could he think that the enemy ain't did the same thing to him? Well, he just went out and did. So David come back not knowing whether his family was alive or not. And they got back there to Ziklag and found out, my God, that his family was gone. Not only was his family gone, but they had burnt the place to the ground. And the Bible said they cried. Have you ever been there till you cried? You couldn't cry no more. Ain't no more tears left in your eyes, but you're yet still trying to cry. David cried till there weren't any more tears in his eyes. He and men that were with David, they cried too. The Bible said they cried until they got angry. They cried till they got depressed, until they got so mad at David because they felt like it was David's fault. If we had been home, and we'd been out killing somebody else, if we had not been out killing somebody else, we did all this wouldn't have happened. So they mad at David. They talking about stoning David. David said they were grieved in their heart. And David heard in his ear. He heard them over there talking. And here they were talking about killing David. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Yes, you have to encourage yourself sometimes. I know you're sick. I know that sickness has been there for a long time. I know the doctor said that this sickness is going to be unto death. I know the doctor said there ain't no cure for this sickness. I know the doctor said your mama died from it, your daddy died from it, and grandma died from it. And he got you thinking that you're going to die from it. Something about doctors is sometimes they make you feel so bad when you go to them, you don't even want to go. But I come out and tell you, I don't care what your doctor says. I don't care what the situation look like. I don't care if it does look like the husband ain't never coming back, the wife ain't never coming back. I come out and encourage you, don't stop. You're serving God. You got to answer to God. You got to stand before him one day and give an account. You got to know that God is on your side. And you got to know that he got greater waiting. Look at Joseph. How he lost all his youth, all his childhood. His brother them sold him into Egypt. But Joseph kept his integrity. I come out to tell somebody tonight, keep your integrity. Don't become loose in yourself. Don't start getting slack. The Bible said, be ye steadfast and be unmovable, always abiding in the work of God, for as much as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Know that God didn't bring you this far to lead you now. Know that what you're doing, God's going to reward you for. So what, nobody praising you. So not will nobody lifting you up. So what, nobody come out and encourage you. Reach down on the inside. And encourage yourself. Encourage your own self. Tell yourself it's going to be all right. Tell yourself that it's going to be all right tomorrow. And if it don't be all right tomorrow, tell yourself it's going to be all right the next day. Keep on lifting up yourself. Keep on lifting up your spirit. Keep on looking unto the hill with coming your help. Don't you give up. Don't you stop trusting God. Be like the widow woman who didn't give up. And the Lord even Jesus told that story. He said that she kept on coming. She was an unjust judge. He didn't fear God, and he didn't fear man. And the Bible says that the woman went to him and asked him to avenge her. Now, I don't know what she wanted to be avenged for or about. It did not say. It just said that he asked him to avenge her, to fix this problem, this situation, this thing that was troubling her. Said, but the judge would not do it. But the scripture said, but she kept right on coming. And she didn't stop. And the Bible said he didn't fear God nor man. So for that reason, he did not avenge her because he was scared of her or he was scared of man. He did it that she would not worry him. He said, let this woman worry me. I'm going to avenge her. And the Bible said he being a man, an ungodly man, not fearing God or man, and avenged her. How much more I be holy, said God, if you wait on me. Well, I avenge you, those that are my elect, say, you got to be God's elect now. You got to be born again. You got to be saved. You got to be in the will of God. You got to be elected by God. You got to be a child of God. He said, well, I avenge those that are my elect, though they cry day and night. He said, though they tarry, though I tarry, God say. See, sometimes it look like God tarry. He just ain't coming. You done prayed out and just don't even feel like praying no more. But I come out to encourage you. I come out to freshen you up in the prayer life. Keep right on praying, even though you feel like your prayers is hitting the ground, feel like your prayers are not accomplishing nothing. The Bible says, though he tarry, yet will he come and knock you down and run you over. Isn't that something? He's going to come. It look like he ain't. But when he do, he's going to knock you down, and he's going to run you over. Now, I want to talk from a statement here, a few things that got jotted down. I want to talk about the mind. Because, see, you got to understand that in order for the heart to get messed up, the mind got to be messed up first. See, the mind receives, develops, and sin. The heart receives, process and deliver. Let me say it again. The mind receives, it develops what it receives, and it sends it to the heart. The heart receives it, processes it, and it delivers. The heart can only deliver, the heart can only deliver what the mind has sent it. So if your heart all messed up, if your heart ain't in the right place, if your heart all bitter, if your heart all cold, if your heart all discouraged, if your heart is all downtrodden, it's because it came from your mind. If your heart dirty, then the mind dirty. See, the mind, the heart, the mind is what dirties the heart. The mind is what heavies the heart. So that's why we have to be careful what we allow to get in our mind, because whatever get in our mind going to go to the heart. And understand now, the heart only can process what the mind sent it. The heart don't change. You're going to have a bad heart and a good mind. You're not going to have a bad heart if you got a good mind. Hello? If your mind is good, your heart ain't going to be bad. If your heart is bad, your mind is bad. And this is what happens. We let bad things get in our mind, and then them bad things get in our heart. You can't serve God with a bad mind. You can't serve God effectively with an evil mind. You can't serve God with evil thoughts in your mind, and then trying to serve God effectively. That's why the scripture says, what's never is lovely, what's never is pure, what's never is holy, what's never is just, what's never is righteous, what's never is trustworthy, what's never of a good report. Let these things be in your mind. See, these are clean things. These are honorable things. These are encouraging things. These are foundational things. He said, let these things be in your mind. So when you allow evil in your mind, that evil corrupts your heart. And it causes evil thoughts to enter into your heart. And then after a while, you start operating off those evil thoughts that bring destruction. Mm-hmm. It said the heart can only deliver what the mind has sent it. Remember that. Whatever coming out of your heart, it came from your mind. The heart, listen, the heart can't take bad and turn it into good. Neither can the heart take good and turn it into bad. The heart is neutral. It can only distribute what it receives. Understand me? The heart just don't make up something. It's going to make you an adulterer. It's going to make you a fornicator. It's going to make you a drunk. It's going to make you a liar. It's going to make you a deceiver. It's going to make you an alcoholic because your daddy was an alcoholic. Your heart cannot do that. If God did that there, then God wouldn't be God, because God don't even do that. Excuse me. But your mind, the dirt that get in our mind, the trash that get in our mind, this is what defiles us. This is what destroys us, because we let too much stuff get in our head before we get it out. Now, there's an old saying said that you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but if he put a nest in your hair, it's your fault. You done stood still too long. And that's what we do. We stand still and let the devil plant things in our thought. Sometimes the thing, it ain't even true. The scripture said, know them that labor among you. Sometimes we let the devil tell us things about people that ain't even no truth. It's negative thing. The next thing we know, we won't talk to them no more. We write them off. We don't fellowship with them no more because somebody said something about here. But the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses. The Bible said take no accusation against a leader. We'll mess around and let people tell us stuff, and then we'll take that stuff, and we'll work it against one another and have people are offended just because of what we heard. The Bible says to be a witness, you got to see it for yourself. You can't hear it. Hearing ain't no witness. Well, I heard it. I heard so-and-so told me. No, to be a witness, you got to know it. You got to be, you got to have firsthand evidence. And let us go to Romans, the 8th chapter and the 35th verse. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 35th verse. And we want to talk here for us a little bit. This is Paul talking. In the book of Romans, around the 8th chapter and the 35th verse, and Paul trying to encourage the Christians, because some of them were just giving up. Some of them were throwing in the towel. Some of them were losing hope. Some of them were losing ground. Some of them were backsliding. Some of them just couldn't take it no more. But Paul said in the 33rd verse, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, my God. Who? Who? Who in the world? Just because somebody lie on you don't separate you. See, we got to quit thinking that God think like people think. People can lie on you all they want to. People can judge you all they want. They can pray all the prayer they want to pray to God. God is not moved by people's prayers. God sees you. He knows those that labor among him. God knows those that are his. God is not moved by what folks say. Whenever Dana's in the book of the Old Testament, when he got together with his friends and tried to bring an accusation against Moses, because he said that they can lead the children of Israel just like Moses did. They are prophets, and just like Moses, and that God's on their side. Well, don't you know that God didn't argue about that? God won't sit there and say, well, I got to prove in the morning whose side I'm on, because they might be about right. No, God already knew he had called Moses. God already knew who he had set in order. And that morning, God was in no process of trying to prove nothing. God was in the process of killing. He was in the process of bringing judgment on those who brought an accusation against his leader. God knows who he called to lead. I don't care if you can prophesy, you're not the pastor. I don't care if you didn't sing a song and the choir fell out on the floor when you got through, you are not the pastor. I don't care how gifted you in dreams and in vision, you are not the leader. You are not the pastor. When you get through singing, sit down. When you get through prophesying, sit down. When you get through singing like an oracle, sit down and humble yourself. Honor your leader, because your leader, maybe your leader ain't as educated as you. Maybe your leader didn't go to college like you did. Maybe your leader didn't go to Yale University like you did. But when it's all over with, they are the leader. God called them to lead you and not you lead them, because God's not calling you to lead education-wise. He's not calling you to lead naturally, but this is a spiritual thing. And when God put a leader in charge, it's not based on their education or status, but it's based on the fact that God put them there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or swirl? Because Paul knew that these things will come along in your life. You cannot make excuses and let these things separate you, because God is bigger than these things. God is greater than these things. God is greater than your tribulation that you're going through. God is greater than the distress you're going through. God is greater than the persecution. Lord, they're talking about me, God. And they did, and they said, so what? Let them talk. Jesus said they talked about me. He said, if I be a green tree and they talked about me, what chance you are been a dry tree? They talked about Jesus. They scandalized Jesus' name. They hung Jesus' name on a signboard. But did Jesus give up? Did Jesus quit? No. He didn't pay that man no attention. He even said, forgive them, because they know not what they do. Sometimes we may not have the clothes we need to wear, or sometimes we might not have the finance that we need, and famine and nakedness or pearl or swollen. Sometimes our life might be at death's door, but we got to keep our eyes on Jesus, the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, or Mary's baby. We got to keep our eyes on the Son of God, who didn't bring you this far. You can be encouraged that if God be for you, he more than the whole world against him. Sometime on that journey, it's going to look like you ain't got nothing but God. Somebody made a statement one time, when you ain't got nothing left but God, you got more than you need. If God is the only thing you got left, since you think that's the only thing you got left, because many times it ain't the only thing, but the devil make us feel like that God is the only ones in my life. Well, let me know. Take that and run with it then. But that's a handful right by itself, knowing that God is on your side. He's our strength when we're weak. He's our joy when we're sad. He's the lifter of our head. And I come out and encourage somebody, you can't stop. You done come too far. Can't let you know that you got to have a made-up mind and keep your mind made up. You got to keep your mind made up. Don't let the devil stop you. And he can't stop a made-up mind. For your sake, he said, for your sake, for the sake of the Lord, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now listen, that's why the scriptures say, add up the cost and see who you're willing to pay the price. Now you expecting to get saved and don't cry. You might well think about salvation, because it's going to make tears sometimes. It's going to bring heartache this time. It's going to bring disappointment sometimes. But you got to add up the cost and see if you're willing to be a Christian. See, it costs to be a Christian. Listen, it don't cost nothing to become a Christian, but it costs something to stay a Christian. Oh, your feelings going to be on the line. Your reputation on the line. Your lifestyle is on the line. And you got to add up the cost and see if you're willing to take the licking and keep on ticking. Jesus added the disciples because they wanted the robe he had on. They wanted the title he had. They wanted that position. He asked them, are you willing to suffer the suffering that I suffer? They said, yea, Lord. And he said, so shall you. There's a price to pay. to walk this journey. There's a denial. If you're not willing to deny yourself, being a Christian, this Christian life ain't for you. It's a denying life. It's a forsaken life. It's a lay down every weight and a sin life. It's a changed life. You got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to lay down the wrong for the right. You got to be willing to give up the worldly thing. If you're not willing to give up the club, if you're not willing to run up midnight ramming, if you're not willing to give up alcohol and sex and all these things, then this ain't the life for you to live, because this is a sacrificial life. And you're going to be counted as a slaughter. Every day the devil is trying something. He's trying to throw stumbling block in your way. But Paul said in the 37th verse, yet in all these things, we are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. You are a conqueror in the morning. You are a conqueror tomorrow morning. In Christ Jesus, you are always a conqueror. Even when you're down, you're really up. Even when you're lost, you're found. Even when you're seen broken, he's still on your side. I encourage you, put your gloves back on. Get back in the ring. Fight one more time. Don't let the devil win the battle, because we're getting to the end of the line now. We're getting to the end of the race now, where the devil's trying to make people give up and quit. But the Bible said in the last day, there'll be a great falling away. Don't you be one of those that fall away. But keep your hands in God's hand and know that God is on your side. He said, for I am persuaded that neither I'm persuaded. You got to persuade yourself like David did. David encouraged himself. That's the same thing as persuading yourself. You got to encourage yourself that you is going to get well. You got to encourage yourself that it is going to get better. You got to encourage yourself that your job going to get better. You got to encourage yourself that your health going to get better. You got to encourage yourself that your marriage going to get better. You got to encourage yourself that God's going to put your enemy behind you. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels. See, when he said angels, he's talking about them angels that fell, them angels that fell with Satan. See, you got angels out there who are working for Satan, and they'll come lying to you, telling you stuff that God told you to leave your husband. God told you to leave your wife. God tell you to marry me. I'm the one. Honey, if it ain't according to the scripture, you don't need to listen to that angel. That angel's lying. God told me to go to the missionary field overseas and do a mission and everything and leave your seven children here for somebody else to feed. No, baby, that wasn't God angel. That was the angel of Satan. Amen. God got enough people to send in the mission field. He ain't got to send you over there and leave your seven children back here for your wife to struggle to try to feed by themselves. So we got to be careful when we say God said it, because there are angels out there working for Satan, and they fell from glory and principalities. Other words, those areas up there, those avenues that Satan works in, nor power, nor anything present, nor thing come. You got all the present, well, it hadn't even happened yet. You can't let these things separate you from the love of God. Satan try any kind of trick he can. He'll get all in your dream while you sleep at night and have you waking up in the morning feeling all depressed, like you ain't saved, like you ain't been born again, like God ain't on your side. But I come out and tell you, the scripture said he'll never leave you, neither will he forsake you. And 39 verse said, no height nor depth, nor any other creature or created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. How many know that when he died on the cross and for you, that his love is everlasting? His love is eternal. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. Nothing can make you. Satan cannot even make you backslide. You backslide on your own. Satan does not have the power to make you backslide. If he did, then he got more power than God gave him. Satan does not have. He has the power to intimidate you. He has the power to deceive you. He have the power to mislead you. He have the power to distress you. But he does not have the power to make you take your hand out of God's hand. You got to do that yourself. You the only one can separate yourself. That's why the Bible said, them that are holding my hand, he said, all the devils in hell can't pluck them out. Isn't that awesome? He said all the devil. He didn't say some of the devil. He said them that are holding my hand, all the devil in the hell, whether on the north, south, east, or west, high or low, all the principalities, all the devils, they cannot take you out of God's hand. And that's an awesome statement to make. Doesn't know you there forever. You there to stay. God got you sealed with the blood. But don't let the devil discourage you and make you turn God's hand loose, because he told you that you ain't saved, that you done messed up. God ain't forgive you. Well, honey, he already done forgave you. God ain't going to forgive you. God already done forgave you from the foundation. He already forgave when Christ died on the cross. The Bible says priests down here had to offer up for your sin every day. And then the Bible said they had to go into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer up for your sin as well as theirs. And they did that every year, and they did that every day. Say, but when Jesus died on the cross, he carried his blood back to heaven and sprinkled it on the altar. The Bible said he died. He offered up an offering before God, never to offer that offering again. In other words, Jesus hadn't had to go every day to ask God to forgive you. You done been forgiven. What you got to do is accept it. You got to accept the forgiveness. Whether you're lost today, you got to accept it. Whether you're saved today and you're depressed and you're bound and you feel like you done messed up so much because you done sinned it so many times that he won't forgive you, he done forgave you. You just got to accept the forgiveness. You just say, thank you, God, for forgiving me. I know I messed up. I know I failed to cross my T's and dot my I's. I know I seem like I keep doing the same thing over and over again. And somebody told me if I were born again, if I were truly saved, I wouldn't be doing anything over and over again. I ain't saved. I ain't this. Don't listen to what they say. You keep on calling on the name of the Lord. You keep on asking God to forgive you until you get it together, until you get on stable ground. You keep on asking God to forgive you until you get the victory. You keep on asking God to forgive you until you get victory over that alcohol, victory over them drugs, victory over that sexual indictment that you have in yourself. So keep on asking God to forgive you till you get the victory over that infirmity that keep on calling you to do wrong, because God is a forgiving God. He done died on the cross. He done shed his blood. And the last verse said, I tell the truth in Christ. And I'm not lying. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. Paul saying that nothing, Paul said nothing can separate you from the love of God. So I want you to say again with me, devil, you can't stop me because my mind is made up. My mind is made up to go all the way to see the coming King. My mind is made up to serve the Lord. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to serve him. And I get up in the morning, I'm going to give my will to his will that I might do of his good pleasure. I done made up my mind that I'm going to lay down every weight and the sins that either beset me. I done made up my mind I'm going to give up these habits and these hang-ups, this wrongdoing. I done made up my mind I'm going to rededicate my life to God this year, and I'm going to serve him according to his word. Since I done named myself the name of Christ, I'm going to walk like Christ. I'm going to talk like Christ. I'm going to act like Christ. I'm going to live like Christ. I'm going to live so that God can use me to help somebody else. So put a watch over your mind. Watch what go in your mind, because what goes in your mind going to go into your heart. Watch what go in your mind, because what goes in your mind going to go in your heart. So make sure the thing that's in your mind is spiritual things. The Bible said the word of God is able to capture. God's word to reach out. Sometimes you got to tell the Lord, capture my mind, Lord. It's getting out of control. The word of God is able to capture and bring in captivity the wonder parts of your mind to the obedience of Christ. I said the word of God is go out and capture. Sometimes you got to run your mind down. It look like it just get loose. It look like it just going to do what it want to do. But you got to tell God's word, God, go get my mind and bring my mind back. Lord, my mind don't want to think right. My mind don't want to act right. And God, I done tried, and it just got to get the best of me. But go get my mind, God. And the Bible said the word of God will go out there and get your mind, and it'll bring your mind back in. So we certainly thank the radio audience for listening this afternoon. Come out, somebody need to tell that devil that you ain't going to stop because you done made up your mind. And when your mind made up, honey, you a dangerous person. When your mind made up. Tell that devil you done made up your mind and show him you made up your mind. Next time he come to try to tempt you, Next time he comes to God to discourage you, next time he comes out to make you do something that's contrary to God's word, don't you do it. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. Remember this as I close. The Bible says resist the devil, and he'll flee. The word flee means to run. But see, he don't let you know he's running. He makes you think he's still standing there. So you think ain't nothing happened. But when you resist that devil, get back in that car. Don't you go do that. Stop. You know where you headed is wrong. You know that house you headed to is wrong. You know that what you're fit to do now is wrong. You know God's word is contrary to what you're about to do now. You stop. Stop it. Just don't do it. And the more you stop it, the stronger you get. The more you resist the devil, the stronger you will get in that area. The more you say no to that situation, the stronger you get. And one day you'll look back and be proud of yourself that you got victory over that. Because I want you to know his grace is sufficient. Ain't nothing in your life, ain't nothing in your mind, ain't nothing in your thought that God's grace is not sufficient enough. Sufficient means more than enough. For sufficient means more than enough. God's grace is more than enough to give you victory over that habit, over that hang-up, over that stronghold in your life. Pastor, I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. I can't let it go. Yes, you can let it go. Because it's not of God, it's of the devil. And when something of the devil, God will help you to let it go. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a winner. So do it God's way. And when you do it God's way, you'll find that everything's going to be all right. In Jesus' name. Apostle.
Amen and amen. I was just so in awe listening to those words of wisdom, Apostle. Truly, it's a blessing. We thank God for listening to Apostle Alexander Lockamy from the Burning Bush. Again, we heard Apostle Alexander Lockamy from the Burning Bush. If you would like to call him for prayer or for advice or to even invite him to your church, his number is 9106585206. Again, that's Apostle Alexander Lockamy. And the name of this church is the Burning Bush Non-Denominational Church of Deliverance. Again, it's the Burning Bush Non-Denominational Church of Deliverance. It is located 402 13th Street, 402 13th Street. That's Irwin, North Carolina. Irwin, North Carolina. And this is our hour on Thursday called The Burning Bush. It's the man with the wisdom gift. Apostle, I would like to ask you some questions in reference to the message that you gave. Some thoughts came to mind before we close out. Is it okay?
Yes.
One of the questions when you were saying about your mind, when God said, I believe, let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus, what did he mean?
Well, he meant read the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, you won't know what the mind of Christ is. See, the Bible is the mind of Christ. The Bible is the mind of God. Actually, it's the mind of God and the mind of Christ, which they're both the same, because he said we are one. When you read the Bible, you're reading God, how Christ thinks. And when you read about how Christ thinks, that's the way you act, the way he thinks. When you read the Bible tells us how Jesus acted. It tells us how Jesus handled the situation. They got a shirt out there talking about what would Jesus say. When you read the Bible, it tells us the mind of God. And so what we do is we apply that to our own lives and do just what Jesus did.
Okay, and I noticed sometimes, I never understood this, but what is a reprobate mind?
That is when God is not dealing with you no more. You done got so bad that you don't listen to the Lord. He been day after day, year after year, beckoning you to do the wrong right thing. So what God does is he don't talk to you no more. God is not trying to draw you no more. You're going to be lost because, see, you can't come except the Holy Ghost draw you. And, see, when the Holy Ghost turns into a reprobate mind, he don't draw you no more. God don't let the Holy Ghost witness you no more to try to send nobody to witness you no more. Ain't nobody come, even though you're hearing people all around you, nobody is sent to witness you because you done turned a deaf ear.
Wow.
So you really lost. You really lost.
Is that what happened to Lot's wife when she turned to stone?
Well, she was in disobedience. She was in disobedience. He told her not to look back because there was nothing there to look back for. It was the city was abomination. It was nothing for her to even look back to, and it was so defiling. He said, "Go and don't look back." He said, "Cause I'm gonna destroy the city." And she looked it back, wondering what she had lost. There was nothing to lose. There was nothing there but ungodliness. There was nothing there but filth. There wasn't nothing there but abomination. And she looked back, grieved about the fact that she had left this mess.
Wow. So if you wouldn't mind, before we close out, could you pray for people's mind, that their minds will get right or where they feel led? And then we're going to close out. Again, you've been listening to Apostle Alexander Lockamy. I call him Dad. He is blessed with truly a wisdom gift. And we're going to turn it over to him now for prayer.
Precious Father, I come to you on behalf of the people who seem to be rebellious, seem to be hard-hearted, hard-headed. They seem to be stubborn in their own way. They're just not going to listen. They just going in their own way, God. Seem as though they might have been reprobated. But if there be any hope, God, because you are God, where I might not see hope, you may see hope. But if there be any hope to win them over, if there be any hope to bring them back, if there be any hope to give them another chance, then I do pray, God, that you would use her there, that husband, that wife, those children, those brothers and sisters, the family members. They seem to go on in the way of their home, God. They won't continue to do the things that they're doing, and they know it's ungodly. They know that it's not right. They know it's not holy. They know that it's perverseness. They know that it's an abomination. But they keep right on doing it, God, over and over again. I pray that you would have mercy on them, that they might not die in their sin and their soul be lost, that you would send somebody to witness to them. It is my prayer that when that person go witness to them, God, that they will take heed to the witnesses, that they'll come running and ask, what must I do to be saved? Because you have the power, you have the authority to change people, God, no matter how bad they are, no matter how long they've been in it, God, no matter how corrupt they is, you are able to change. Your grace is sufficient. You have no respect of a person. So I pray that you will send your grace out now. Send your grace out, God, to every city, to every town, every country, every nation, every nationality. Send it all overseas in the name of Jesus. Not from one side of the world, all the world, from the north, south, east, and west, from China to Japan, from Washington to Texas, from Czechoslovakia to England. Send out your angels. Send out your gift spirit, Lord. Beckoning to them, oh God, beckoning them, God, that they might turn, God, that they might realize that they need to turn, that they might see themselves, that they might become like the prodigal son and come to themselves, oh God, that they might not become reprobated. And Paul said in the last days, men will become reprobated because they made up their mind that they just ain't going to stop doing wrong. But God, if it be possible, and if it be a chance to win one over, then I ask you to change them from their reprobated state. When this reprobated mind, when the reprobated thinking, before they become reprobated, done gone so far that they come back. I ask that you do these things, God. Be gracious and be merciful as much as you can. And I pray that your grace will find somebody and bring them in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. You have just heard from the wisdom man himself that God is using Apostle Alexander Lockamy. I would encourage you each week, tell your neighbor, tell your friend, all of those, even your enemies, God forbid, that you would tell them to listen to Thursdays. We are on 7 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. This is Apostle Alexander Lockamy and the Burning Bush. Again, you've heard the Burning Bush with Apostle Alexander Lockamy. And we're going to close out with his favorite song, that God has done too much for you, and you don't have a right to complain. Let us listen to Reverend Paul Jones as we close out and ask the man of God any closing remarks, anything else you want to say before we close out, sir.
Just be aware of how Satan is dealing with your mind, and don't let him do this year what he did last year. Your mind belongs to you. It don't belong to the devil. Your mind don't control you. You control your mind. Satan got you thinking your mind controlling you and you can't change what you're doing. But that is not true. God gave you power over your mind. So control your mind and those things are in your mind that is not shouldn't be there, then you take them out by controlling your mind with the help of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Apostle Alexander Lockamy, amen.
I'll have some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some lonely nights. But when I looked around and I think things over, you know what? All of my good days outweigh my bad days. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. To me, more than this whole world, all you could ever be. He's been so good. Help me. You know what he did? He dried all of my tears away. Midnight in today. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I've been lied on, but thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, but thank you, Lord. You might be sick, body racking with pain, but thank you, Lord. The bills are due. Don't know where the money coming from. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't. Yeah. I won't complain. Today. So instead of complaining, I learned how to lift them hands. look up toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord. Tell him, thank you, Lord. 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 I won't complain. I won't complain. I'm a fool, but I won't complain. I used to, but I won't. I could, but I won't. I won't. I won't. Some of y'all been grumbling, but you ought to thank God for bringing you this far. You ought to thank God for bringing you from a mighty long way. And you're all right. And you're all right. Y'all will stand on your feet and praise the Lord.